Mary is one of the most consequential people in human history. God chose Mary. And God has a way, doesn't he? Because Mary was an unmarried teenager, likely 13, 14 years old. She was from an obscure village of Nazareth. She was in a disrespected region of Galilee. Everything about this said no, except for God. How did Mary handle the angel Gabriel's breaking news? Well, initially not so great, and I can't imagine what it must have been like. Let me read from Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you'll call him Jesus, and he will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will not end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Again, everything about this encounter had to freak Mary out. Just think about some of these things. Suddenly, an angel of all things. Gabriel's fierce. He is strong and shining from God's presence, and he just sort of steps in. Pretty big of Mary to just even survive that moment. Plus, she's all alone. There's no one to turn to, no one to seek comfort with. She's isolated, she's vulnerable, and she's young. She does not have a lifetime of experience of living under her belt. No grid to process the moment. You know, we adults, we aren't easily thrown. That's part of what it means to be an adult. You know, the thunderstorms and stuff that used to send us maybe scurrying off to seek shelter with our parents. Now those storms, they used to rattle us. Now they're kind of cool to watch. It takes a lot to shake us. And yet if we're honest, we can still be shaken. Mary is shaken. She's greatly troubled. And the message itself, it's totally far-fetched. For hundreds of years, Israel has been waiting for God to do something really great. Defeat their enemies. Show Israel mercy. Send Israel a mighty Messiah, David's son, who would rule the nations forever. And yet there has only been silence and waiting. Can you relate to that? Silence and waiting until this moment with Mary. Had to wonder, what is this going to be like? How can I pull this off? What will Joseph think? All the unknowns flooding in. And we face unknowns of our own. Whether you're an adult or a student, will I make the team? Am I beautiful? Can I do this job? Will there be enough? Will this go away? Will the sadness lift? Will healing ever come? Every single season, every single season of life breeds new questions. And then what about her reputation? What are other people going to think? Have you ever wondered that about yourself? Isn't it amazing how consumed and captivated we can be with how we are perceived by others? She's thinking they're going to look down on me. Joseph is going to think I've cheated. I'm going to be misunderstood and ridiculed. The longing for others to think well of us is so great in us, isn't it? I guess it's why we try to please people as much as we do, even though it is totally exhausting. And it's also why probably we become professional fakers, pretty good at pretending. But Mary couldn't hide this one. No wonder she's greatly troubled. Yet God does with her what I believe he is eager to do with you and with me. He wants to draw Mary into a trusting place. He gives her anchor in the face of uncertainty, and she moves from greatly troubled in verse 29 to let it be unto me in verse 38. How does she get there? How does she go from fear to faith? How do we? Well, you know, God gets Mary's attention off of Mary. He gets Mary's attention off of Mary's circumstances and onto himself. Every time that I would call home as an adult and maybe have some time with my dad, kind of complaining or whining or telling, I wish this were different in my life, and I wish this were different. At some point in the conversation, he'd say, well, Stephen, it sounds a bit like you're turned in on yourself. Maybe it's time to get your focus, Stephen, back on to the Lord. God does that with Mary in four different ways, and I will share them briefly. And by briefly, I actually do mean briefly, because as a son of a pastor, I know what Christmas Eve sermons can feel like. That was for you, Dad. Remember those long-winded sermons? I'm just kidding. They were great. The first is that God gives his grace to Mary. It's very interesting. In verse 28, Gabriel's initial greeting is this. He says, greetings, O favored one. And the word for greetings is this sort of emotive flavor of rejoice. And the reason that Mary's given to be rejoicing is that she's favored. And I think to some degree we've misunderstood what it means to be favored. The Greek word for favored means graced. It's the word for gift in Greek, or the present. She isn't better than other women. That's not how grace works. But she is chosen. She has been chosen by God for a particular purpose. And God delights in her. I wonder if you believe that for yourself, or if you believe that God could ever delight in you. I often pray that you would. Here at Hope, grace is our starting point for life. It is how your life with God begins, and then it's how your life flourishes every day thereafter. God initiates his grace, and Mary receives it. And this enables her to start moving into a place of trusting God with next. He gives Mary grace, and then he gives her his presence. He says again in verse 28, the Lord is with you, which of course means you're not alone, but I believe it's bigger than that. Mary's amazing. I can't wait to meet her someday, because she knows her Old Testament. She may be young, but don't put it past a teenager to know the Word of God. She knows the Old Testament, and because I'm not going to be long-winded tonight. I won't take you to Luke 1:46, but I could take you to Luke 1:46 and unpack Mary's Magnificat, where she refers back to a number of Old Testament passages. She knew her Old Testament. And this phrase, "the Lord is with you," is actually a phrase that gets used with a number of key figures along the way in the Old Testament. Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and Gideon and David are told, "Do not be afraid because the Lord is with you." God's about to do something really big. The God of all creation places Mary in incredible company. She is not going to face this huge challenge alone. And I would just say to you, I don't know what challenge lies before you as you come to Christmas Eve 25, but you too are not to face the huge challenge ahead alone. If you belong to Jesus, whatever it is that you are up against, it is not bigger than Jesus. It may be bigger than you, but not bigger than Him. And I believe that God is ready and God is available to give you strength for whatever is ahead. It's truly amazing. Every single day, everywhere we go, we can enjoy the company of the living God. That's amazing. The certain one giving anchor. God draws Mary to trust Him with next through His grace and His presence. Also through His promises, which we've sung about tonight, 11 times Gabriel declares what will happen. This is not really an invitation, it's an announcement. Verse 31, here's just a few. You will conceive, you will bear a son, you will call Him Jesus, He will be great, He will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give Him the throne of David, He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom will have no end. God is not only a promise maker, but the God of the Bible is a promise keeper. In fact, that's exactly what tonight and tomorrow morning is all about. Christmas is a celebration of the faithfulness of God. He's a faithful God. He promised Israel a king, and Mary became the king bearer, and then that king became our sin bearer. Amen? Savior of us all. God has been faithful. God is faithful, and He always will be. God's grace, God's presence, God's promises. Again, I just want to remind us, this is how you begin to move from your stressed out, anxious, overwhelmed, afraid spot into a trusting place. You can't do it by going around God's grace or living without God's presence or banking on God's faithfulness. All of these are important, as is the final one, and that is God's power. I mean, Mary is wondering, how in the world is all of this going to go down? And you might be looking out ahead at tomorrow or next week or next year and wondering, how in the world is all of this going to go down? Whenever we're up against something bigger than ourselves, that's our question. And again, Gabriel gets Mary's attention off of Mary and off of her circumstance and on to God. And maybe God wants to do that with you. Verse 35. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. In fact, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has conceived a son." She's already in the sixth month. "She who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Nothing will be impossible with God. The one who spun the cosmos, the one who literally created all things with the sound of his voice, he can either still the storm or still you in the midst of it. Right? Gabriel's like, this is up to God, and God is up to this. And Elizabeth's open womb is the evidence. It is literally life from the dead, because God is the God of the impossible, which means you can do whatever God calls you to do. That's always the question. God, what are you calling me into? And if he calls you into something, then God is actually going to equip you with the resources that you need to be able to move forward into that. What it doesn't mean is that you can just do whatever you want. Sometimes people say, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to do and God will get behind it. What it means is if the things that matter most to God matter most to you, there's power. God grants capacity to yielded hearts. Think of Jesus in Gethsemane. I mean, yes, we're here to celebrate Christmas, but the manger baby grows up to become our Redeemer. And he says to the Father, everything is possible for you. This is one of his last prayers recorded on planet Earth. Everything is possible for you. I wonder if he learned that from Mary, who learned that from Gabriel. And then he says this, take this cup from me. This cup. This mission before me, please remove it. It's too much. It's too heavy. And then he says, yet not what I want, but what you want. That yielded heart, believing that God is able, enables us to trust him with next. We're certainly welcome to ask, Lord, here's what I want. Here are the longings of my heart. Here are my desires. No problem there. But we're also wise to add to that, Lord, help me to want what you want. I'm trusting you to provide everything I need. As Mary says in 38, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. That's trust. Let it be to me according to your word. Thank you, Lord, for being for me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for being faithful and powerful. I'm yours, Mary says. I'm open to whatever you want to do in me. Is that your heart this Christmas? Can you join Jesus' mom in that posture before the Lord? You're for me. I can't believe it. You're with me. It's amazing. You, the God of the Bible, are faithful through the ages, and you are more powerful than anything in this world. And I'm open, and I'm yielded for you to do in me whatever it is you want to do. I think if we're honest, we're probably in one of three places this evening, and I'll close with this. I think some of us are just resisting God. We're just doing everything we can to try to hold him at bay, still trying to live life on our terms with as little as God as possible. Or maybe you're the opposite of resisting. You're trying to please God, and you're on this sort of wearying treadmill of religion where you're just hoping against hope, kind of like a scale in the end, that your good slightly outweighs your bad and that everything sort of works out. Or you're learning to receive and rest in the grace of God. And I can commend God's grace to you as the greatest gift that I have ever received and that I keep on receiving. God's grace is amazing. It's like pulling the cord out of the wall on the treadmill, and it just slows down. The resistance to God, trying to just do it myself, do it my way, all of that goes away as you still yourself and know that God is God, and he is toward you through his Son. This is what enables you to begin to entrust yourself into his hands. Because you're not trying to please the unpleasable one. You're responding to the one who is pursuing your heart. The one who knit you together in your mother's womb, knows every cell of your body, and wants to know you and you him. What is it for you? Is it resistance? Is it religion? Is it resting? The exhale of the gospel is unmatched in this world. Against all odds, Mary, she's amazing. She went all in and she gave life to Jesus. And then, against even greater odds, that Jesus, he went all in. He went even more all in and gave his life for the world. Amen? Life. To those who will receive him as Redeemer and King. Do you? You so can. Let's pray to that end together. Perhaps you've never prayed. I'm happy to pray and invite you to join me in your own mind and heart before God. Just encourage you to be as honest with God as possible in this moment. Lord, the reality is trying to be enough is exhausting. And so is resisting you and trying to go my own way. I pray tonight that you would help me to receive and rest in your grace. Help me to yield to your lead in my life. Yes, there are unknowns ahead of me, and they can consume my thinking. Thankfully, you are not one of them, King Jesus. You alone are enough, my certainty. My rock, yesterday, tonight, and for always. I need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. In fact, tonight we worship you King Jesus, Lord of glory. In your name we pray. Amen.